Hey everyone, this is Made for Music. I am your host, Duncan Byerjean. The reason I started this podcast was growing up, music was my ultimate passion, but I didn't know how to get started. So this podcast seeks to depict a comprehensive view of the music world, from the artistry to the business, so you can discover the resources available to you, and most importantly, the stories behind the people making things happen. If you dig what you hear, please subscribe and rate Made for Music on iTunes or whatever your preferred podcast listening site is. I truly appreciate the extra effort. Sometimes the content is just too good. Had an absolute blast interviewing New Track City, and we got a lot of content for you. So our interview is actually split up into two parts. Here is part one of New Track City on Made for Music. All right, welcome to Made for Music. Today is a special episode consisting of not one, not two, but three friends of the podcast. Hailing from Federal Way, these guys are the epitome of hustlers in the music game. Hey. On top of that, they're experts at delivering an energetic live show.
Yes.
The other day, saw them execute an amazing impromptu freestyle at the IO.in the Uppercut show. But what may be even more impressive is how airtight they are as a collective, not only on stage and in the studio, but regarding their brand, promotion, all that good stuff. They're currently preparing for a slew of out-of-town gigs, so April 7th, they're hitting Your Mom's House in Denver, May 18th, Till 2 in San Diego, and bringing it home May 31st at Nectar Lounge, opening for The Far Side. Definitely don't want to miss these guys when they come to town. We're talking about New Track City.
Woo! That was dope as hell.
Oh, thank you. And first up, we've got Shy Stone, and on top of being a killer MC, he's acting as the booking agent, one of the social media content creators, a screenwriter, and modern day fixer for the group. He kicked off his performance career with More Money, More Problems in the third grade, graduating to Original Music in high school, where he wrote his first original rap, over Corporate Thuggin' by Young Jeezy. So please welcome a lover of good sci-fi shows and a softie for rom-coms, Shy Stone and New Track City.
Yeah. Shy Stone, real name Delici. That was a hell of an intro. Best intro of all time.
Hey, I appreciate that.
That was incredible, man.
Thank you. Yeah. I probably spend way too much time, but it's like one of my favorite parts in advance of all these things. I'm like, okay, that's why I like send out those Some people are like, why are you sending me so many questions? Like, I promise it'll work out.
It's so professional. And it shows when you do that, too.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
But cool. I guess we'll go to the beginning then. Even before getting into music and performing in the third grade, what was it like growing up with music? What kind of inspired you to like want to perform and want to write and stuff like that?
I would just say like me and my brother Ben, we come from a musical family. So like my mom always says like if her family was born in the States, they would have been the modern, like the second coming of the Jackson 5.
Oh, wow.
Whatever. Right, yeah, so this was kind of like something that was meant to be. Like, my mom loves music. And then my dad, I always say he'd make a hell of an A&R if he would have went that path, because he just has a really good ear for music. Like, we grew up on stuff from, like, Fela. He's a Nigerian artist. From that to, like, Fleetwood Mac. Abba, which is, like, random.
Yeah, so, like, super broad spectrum.
And then,
spectrum.
Like, So For Real, New Edition, Michael Jackson, you know, as James Brown. So it's kind of in our DNA, I would say, you know.
Right on. So yeah. Were they, when you were growing up, were they taking like you to shows, or what was your, I guess, exposure like live music in that sense? Because y'all are great performers,
That's
so where'd that kind of come from?
Thank you, man. Honestly, we didn't go to too much shows because our parents were more so like school oriented, which is like crazy. You wouldn't think like, you know, we fell into the arts, but our parents wanted us to like, you know, engineer, lawyer, like it's kind of a Nigerian thing. But, like, our live show, like, how we kind of got into that is just me and my brother used to practice, like, Michael Jackson moves and stuff a lot.
Nice.
Like we'd, like, compete or whatever. And, like, we'd literally, like, record when he'd perform and then play it back and be like, ooh, we're learning the moonwalk. Ooh, we're learning the glide. You know, stuff like that. So that's where the live show, you know, comes from.
Right on. Yeah. So you started, like, rapping, like, third grade you did this performance. Was that together as well, or was that just
that
on your
together
own?
As well. Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
So how does that play into like your dynamic, like when you're writing then, like growing up together, how does that kind of fuel the music?
Yeah. Honestly, I think that's what makes up a lot of it. Like that's why it comes off very authentic. Mm-hmm. Same. We've been in the same household forever. Like literally when we do a song, like sometimes Drew will send us a beat or we'll hit him with the vibe we're trying to go with. And then he'll start his verse and then some I'll start my verse, and then somehow it's connected. Like, mm-hmm. it's not like he's rapping about something random, and I am, and like, it all comes together. And I think that's just because, you know, the camaraderie, you know.
Absolutely. Y'all obviously grew up listening to the same stuff. Mm-hmm. Did your interest diverge at all? Like, do you pull from different things, or do you feel like it's pretty synonymous? Yeah.
Honestly, I think there's like some common artists. Like, my bro and I both have an affinity for Jay-Z. He put me on more so. But then we do listen to like different things. Like, Drew loves some stuff. I'm like, whoa, like, that's interesting. I'm surprised. Like, you'll hear when he references some of his influence, you're gonna be like, oh shit, like, that's different. And then I know I like some things that are a little random. Like, I love Joss Stone. I love Amy Winehouse. Yeah. I got a thing for Janet Jackson. I get that from my older sister. You know, stuff like that. But then I really like hip hop stuff. Tribe, you know, I love Tribe, love Outkast. I'm a big J. Cole fan, so. Yeah.
Right on. Yeah. And you mentioned your folks or your family's from Nigeria. So how has that like impacted your music? Because I've seen like going to like Io shows and whatnot, mm-hmm. and that is a big part of his show. You know, he's got the flag and whatnot, and like there's a lot of pride there. How would you say that like comes into the fold as well?
I would definitely just say it's the pride aspect of it. Like, our most recent project, Freedom Summer, like, mm-hmm. a lot of the inflections and a lot of the stuff we're rapping about on there is, you know, pulling from, you know, our parents' background and just kind of having pride in who you are, where you come from, that kind of thing. So that always seeps into our music, you know?
For sure.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, it's interesting because you mentioned all these influences and whatnot. You've got a lot that comes into, it's a very cohesive sound that pulls from so many different genres, mm-hmm. and whatnot. So like one of the latest videos you posted, it was very jazzy, mm-hmm. and whatnot. And then you've got some stuff that is like very like hardcore hip hop and whatnot. So how does that come to be when you're writing? Because you mentioned, you know, you kind of have a vibe you're going for, mm-hmm. and you start riffing off of each other. Mm-hmm. Is there a typical process? Like, do you have a preference for when you're writing? Like, I like to have the beat first, or do you have lyrics that are coming to mind, or mm-hmm. a theme, or what's that look like?
I would say that it's both. But most of the time we'll have a beat set up. I know with me, like, sometimes I have a hook idea or I'll have a concept. Like, there's this song we just did called Pride. Well, not just did, but it was Pride. Mm-hmm. It's one of our newer songs. But I had an idea. I wanted to rap about the concept of Pride before we had the beat. But then I just hit Drew up and I was like, yo, I just need something hard. Like, we need something hard. We need something that's going to make people, like, as soon as they hear it, like, it's going to make them go crazy because we want to get this concept off. So, you know, it really just depends, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, when it comes to like your writing style, like, where would you say, you've mentioned a bunch of influences. If you were to say, you know, you've derived your sound from a couple spots, like for mm-hmm. yourself, like Shy Stone, like where do you pull from when, or I guess early on, where were you pulling from when you were kind of crafting? Because I feel like everyone when they start is trying to figure out what's my voice, mm-hmm. kind of thing. So starting in the third grade, you probably weren't, you know, Shy Stone kind of thing like you are today. So what were you pulling from and what inspired you? And then, I guess part two to that would be, how did you kind of hone your sound and mm-hmm. what did you use to like learn how to craft a song and whatnot?
That's a really good question. I would say like when I graduated high school and was going to Green River Community College, that's when the development process of writing like really started to play a role. Like, it went from just wanting to rap and write bars, because we used to lock ourselves in our room, like just sit in front of this karaoke machine we had and just write the instrumentals. Like, I want to be the best rapper off top. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the most important thing. So we just be in there 24/7 writing raps, throwing some of them away. This isn't good enough. This is good. Keep that. And then I would say once I graduated, it went from that to, okay, I want to learn how to write the best song. Mm-hmm. Like, how can I write the best song now instead of just being able to rap? Like, I think, you know, you have to get the rap side down, and then you can kind of work on the song structure. So to bring that back to your question, I would say it was around, like, you know, after I graduated Green River, I was listening to a lot of Kanye West. Because to me, I think he's an incredible songwriter, like, just deeper than the mm-hmm. rapping. Like, he puts together great songs. And he has one of the best album catalogs of all time. In my opinion, I'm a little biased. But I think that's when I was really like, okay, I want to learn how to not just be able to rap, but I want to put the songwriting ability to use too.
Definitely.
As
well.
So I drew from a lot of Kanye, is what I'd say.
And that's huge too, because I think especially within like hip hop, if you look at like independent stuff, if you're looking at like Army of the Pharaohs or something like that, they're mm-hmm. just like going off, and it's amazing, but it's all about lyrics. It's just hard beat, we're going, and then there's going to be five guys that come in and ranging from 16 to 32 bars, mm-hmm. sort of thing. So when you talk about like song structure and whatnot, do you typically block out like a 12 to 16 bars and then we're going to have a hook here? Is that mapped out or is it just kind of
a good
vibe?
Question. That, so it depends on the song, right? Like we'll listen to the beat and we'll just vibe off of it and we'll be like, okay, so this song feels like it requires a 16 bar verse because there's a lot we want to get off and it just gives us that feel. And then some songs are like, this one only requires like a six, maybe in a four bar verse, you know, just kind of throw people off. Like we don't want to keep doing the same thing over and over again. And then sometimes we're like, man, this song's we're going to do a 24. Just be rapping and we're going to bring them back, you know? So we just kind of vibe off of the beat and then figure out where we want to go with it. You know? Yeah.
And so before y'all started, like, you mentioned you're kind of on this karaoke machine and whatnot, and you're writing your raps. At what point, and you were kind of like studying Kanye, if you will, like you're studying these artists and whatnot. Were you doing shows at the time when you were rapping, or was it just like
that,
we're gonna
at that
writing?
Time? No shows. It was just let's learn how to write, let's learn how to rap, like let's become the best at that. And then the shows came later on. I would say we didn't start doing shows for real till like what 2016.
Oh, right on. So it was like pretty recent.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. Other than like the talent show stuff when we were younger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
no, that's so that's even more impressive because y'all have come a long way. Like opening, you were opening for Nappy Roots a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Like
that's opened for Bun B too. That was a dream come true.
Yeah.
And then the Far Side, that's insane. Like that's definitely on the bucket list and we're gonna get to check that off. So we're excited about that.
Hey, congrats in advance. That's sweet. And then you sold out Columbia City Theater with Nick Weaver and that was an insane show too. I didn't realize that it had only been like, at that point, it wasn't even 2019 yet, was it? So it was like within 2 years.
Yeah,
you had like a headlining
that's
show.
That's crazy.
That
I didn't think of it like that, but yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Cool. And so we've kind of talked a little bit about the writing process. And so what like I guess where you're at now, like what's inspiring you, and like what are you trying to I guess keep improving on as you move forward, like or. You mentioned you've kind of over the years like worked on songwriting craft. Like, what is it for you? Like, that's next, or what are you chasing, kind of thing?
That's a good question. I think so. There's a couple of things. Like, one of them is I want to be the artist that I've always wanted to listen to. Mm-hmm. So instead of like trying to find someone that relates to me a lot, because there's artists who like relate to me on certain songs, but there's no one that holistically like embodies me. I just figured like now as I'm coming into my age and whatnot, I want to become that artist that, you know, I want to listen to, you know what I mean? So that's one thing that inspires me. The other thing is I think we want to be the best at what we do.
Right.
So that's definitely like something that we really try to do. You know, I think Drew's one of the best producers. That's just how I feel. And I think we're working our way up to becoming the best at what we do as well. So that's another thing that drives me. And then the third thing is I just like there's certain things that I don't feel comfortable like saying out loud. So I just turn to the record and say them on there. So that drives me, like just having an escape and being able to come and say things I otherwise wouldn't be able to say like out loud, either because, you know, you either feel insecure about it or you feel like it might not be the most politically correct thing to say. I want to be able to say it in the music. And so that drives me.
Yeah.
You know?
So that's a really interesting point you brought up over kind of in this era of like political correctness and like, do you like, should musicians be able to go out there and just speak their mind, or what's like the limit? Cause I know that, and that's kind of a loaded question. It's not meant to be like a trap or anything, but we see a lot of artists coming out or I guess we're seeing it more in the comedy space. People are getting in trouble with what they're saying.
For sure.
And then, but then you look at some artists that don't necessarily get in trouble, like you're the XXXTentacion guy and whatnot. Like, we won't dive into that guy, but you know,
we know where you're getting at.
I guess like, what is that for you? Cause it's like cathartic, right? It's like, and kind of like we were talking about before the podcast, like on my personal life, there's family members and you're like, I shouldn't say this. But then when I go sit down to write a song, that's coming out.
Exactly.
Sort of thing.
Yeah. But. I mean, so the question is like, how do I feel about the politically correct?
Yeah. Or just like, does that, I guess the better question would be, does that impact your music, or is it when you sit down to write, it's just whatever's coming out, it's coming out.
Whatever is coming out, it's coming out, not filtering anything, you know? So I can say that for sure. And then the second thing I'll also say is I think the politically correct thing is a little whack, right? Because like what you're doing is you're making people kind of hide what they want to say. You know, I'd rather like know how people feel up front than have them, you know, hide how they really feel.
Yeah.
And the second thing is just like, you can turn off a show, or you don't have to listen to, if they're saying something that you don't agree with, you don't have to partake in it. Right. You know what I mean? Like, what happened to just not, like, fuck, like, well, excuse me, but what happened to not, like, fucking with something? You know what I mean? Like, if you don't like it, turn it off or don't listen to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, everything isn't for everybody. And I think people need to realize that, you know?
Yeah.
And then even to another point I wanted to say is, like, people should be allowed to mess up on the big stage. Like, we're not perfect. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of the, like, these younger artists or whatever are young, you know what I mean? So they're going to mess up in front of people. Like, they should be able to grow from that.
Yeah.
You know, if it's genuine, you know, then we should accept that. If it's not, then that's another thing. But
yeah, it's kind of interesting that, like, some, to your point, like, there's people that are getting busted for stuff they did on Twitter 10 years ago, and it's, they're a different person now.
Yeah,
like,
exactly, man.
I think a great example is, like, that, like, Kevin Hart with the Oscars, which is coming out tonight, and he's like, I already apologized for the stuff 10 years ago, like, and we're just so now that we want to jump on stuff. And it's like, yeah, it's interesting, especially for artists, because you go back, like, Snoop Dogg was talking about it with his early stuff in the 90s. He's like, yeah, if I said some of that now, like, I don't believe that now. He's like, I'm not doing that now, but if you came after me for it, like, yeah, I said it then and I meant it then, and I'm a different person, I grew, and so it's
and
interesting.
Can we even also mention, like, how culture has shifted?
Yeah,
like, some shit that was okay in the 90s is just not okay now.
Yeah,
like, that's acceptable, you know what I mean? Like, why can't it just be that too, you know?
Yeah, and, like, it's like the Christmas songs and whatnot that everyone's getting,
like,
upset about, and
cold.
It's like that,
like,
yeah, it's like that was, what,
man,
70 years ago.
Yeah,
it's like,
come on,
like, okay,
that's whack. I don't
But it is interesting. So, yeah, but I think it's, I totally agree with you. Like, just put it out there. And it's a discussion point, too, right? It's
exactly.
Like, okay, if we disagree, let's talk about it. Like, either turn it off or let's talk about it and come to a better understanding.
And could you imagine like, if people pulled up some stuff you posted, like, on MySpace and shit?
Oh, my
gosh.
I don't,
like,
even want to know.
Yeah, and that's my point, right? Like, none of us are perfect, bro. Like, if you pulled up some of the stuff I was saying, like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
what's even worse is, I think, and not to go too far down the rabbit hole, that people, like, go looking for that. I'm like, why? I can't even get 10 years into my, like, that's too boring for me to scroll that long. Like, someone took the time to, like,
do that. Like, how do you have that much time?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
But anywho. So one of the things I note in the intro is you guys have a very, very tight, like, brand as far as that's concerned. And I know that you take up, you all collaborate on this, but it's a very cohesive group, and you take on all, like, the strategy and whatnot in the booking.
For sure.
So I guess how did you go about, like, I guess, branding yourself, and is there a difference between who you are and, like, the brand, or is that what kind of makes this, is, like, this brand is you guys, and just making sure that that's clear?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. I would say that the whole idea of us, like, because, like, you had referenced, we do handle, like, we do our own marketing, we book our own shows, all of that. That just came from necessity, because, like, we didn't have no one to do it for us.
Right.
So it's either A, you learn how to do it, or you just be that person who continues to rap and no one hears your raps. So we just chose A, like, we decided to learn how to do it. But what was the original question? I'm sorry.
Oh, it was just kind of, is how do you communicate the brand? Because it seems like it's very you guys.
Gotcha.
Like, when I see this stuff online, and then I meet you guys in person, it's like, this is who they are. So how do you communicate that?
Yeah, so that's actually really easy, because, like you said, it is who we are.
Right.
It's just, like, how do we get people to see that? And how we go about doing that is just, like, repping where we're from. Like, a big thing is the Fed hats we do, right? Like, before, we used to say we're from Seattle, you know, which is cool if you're really from Seattle.
Right.
We're not from Seattle. We're from Federal Way, you know what I mean? But we were saying that because we were like, we don't think people know what Federal Way is, and that was a weird time for us. But as soon as we accepted, like, okay, this is where we're from, let's represent it, more doors started to open for us, right? So that's
right,
ironic.
Yeah.
So we're like, okay, that's the brand right there. Like, who are we? Let's magnify it. Let people know who we are. So that's basically the brand. Like, just get to know Shy, get to know Bim, get to know Drew. And if you like us, fuck with us. If you don't, that's cool, you know?
Right.
So
that's interesting, too, because when I saw you guys at Columbia City, you said, like, you know, who's out here from the Fed, and there was a loud roar from that.
Yeah.
So you can see that that's, like, really, like you said, really brings people you guys. And so how has that been, like, so, you play shows in Seattle as well as down south and whatnot. So how does that work, like, when you're going to another place, like, you're playing Denver next, or in 2 months.
Yeah.
So how does that work? Like, do you approach it differently when you're marketing, or is it still like, hey, we're coming to you from the Fed kind of thing? Like, how does that work?
Well, yeah, it is still, you know, from Fed to Denver, or from Fed to San Diego. Like, that's still the approach with it. But the cool part is a lot of these folks are already familiar with this via like Spotify and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So they're familiar with the music, so that's dope. And then a lot of them are fans who we've talked to via Instagram, because we talk to a lot of our fans. Like,
yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're open to talk, we're open to talk for sure. Like, we like to keep it like that, like communicate with the people. So usually in a lot of these cities, they're already kind of familiar with, oh, you're coming from the Fed. This is dope. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Which is another thing that's really cool. You mentioned that you guys run like a lot of the social strategy and whatnot, and some people just put stuff up there, put a bunch of hashtags, back off till the next post. So was that like a conscious decision to, okay, if people, you know, comment, we're going to engage, or was it just kind of natural, like as people started congregating on your platform?
It honestly was very natural. Like a lot of that comes from Ben. Like he just found it really organic. Like if someone like shows us love, you know, show them love back. You know, it wasn't even something he thought like we were thinking about doing at first. It was just naturally, like he was just naturally doing it. Then he was like, yo, like this is kind of dope. And he's like, so the plus side to this is now you're actually talking to people who mess with you.
Yeah.
And then also what's even doper is now you get people who fuck with you for life.
Yeah.
You know, so he basically encouraged me and Drew to do that. Cause I'm not going to lie. Like me personally on social media, like I can only do it for so long.
Yeah.
Like I gotta step away from it.
Right.
Otherwise it consumes, you know, me too much. So,
yeah.
But he taught me how to like kind of cope within and, you know when to like do it and know when to step away, that kind of thing. So yeah, that's how we do that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's an interesting point you brought up, and a great point you brought up was when it's like organic and authentic, it's not as hard.
Exactly. Because
some people try to create this brand like I'm going to be this. Mm-hmm. And then it's this struggle of you get even more exhausted way quicker
because
you're pretending and it doesn't work. And then, you go out of town, you're like, how do I message this? Or someone meets you in person, they're going to, wait a second.
Yeah.
This isn't what I thought I was getting into.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And it gets real weird.
Yeah. But so, and it was interesting, you mentioned that, you know, y'all are doing this yourselves kind of thing. This is fully independent that you guys have like built all of this, and you've got the merchandise down.
Yeah.
You've got you're doing really well on streaming platforms. Like the recordings and writing themselves are incredible. So how did you go about building that? And I guess for someone who's trying to get in this, they're you know, writing raps and they aren't sure where to go. What would your advice be to them, whether it be on the writing side or the booking side?
Yeah, I mean, I just on all facets of it, I would say, you know, work on your craft. That's first and foremost. Make sure that you get to a point in your craft where at least A, you feel like what you do is unique and you stand out, or B, you just feel like you're really good at what you do. It's all about being comfortable on the mic, right? Whether you sing, whether you rap. So I would say that's the first thing I would do. And then the second thing I would say do is just do some research. Like whether you just go on YouTube and watch videos, hey, how to market this, or hey, how to run ads on this, or, you know, stuff like that, just so you can kind of know what you're getting into. And then third thing is just kind of even learn like some of the legal stuff, like how to copyright a track, or, you know, and simply just watch videos on YouTube. Like that's what I would say just to start, you know, because my whole philosophy is like, you're not going to get someone to do it for you if you don't know how to do it yourself.
Yep.
So at least kind of just learn the background and know what you're doing. And then everything else there will open up if you're putting out good content. That's what I believe in. So
100% agree. Yeah. And it protects you. Like you said, learning how to do it is also going to protect you against like bad business folks.
For
too,
sure.
Because there'll be red flags immediately.
Exactly.
I know when I was, I mean, it's not a great example. When I was like 16 trying to do this, I was just saying yes to everything. And we were doing gigs where we were paying like some really shady guy some money.
Know any better, right?
Yeah. And we're going to some gig and you show up and it's like, oh yeah, you guys are going to be in a four band. And then there's 16 bands in one night. And it's like, this is not what it was.
We've had that
like.
Happen too. We know how that feels too.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you got to learn from it. But it, like you said, in YouTube, super powerful tool because everyone's democratizing this info too. So I guess if someone were to start, what would you say? Like if someone was to search something today, like today's day one, they're like, I want to, you know, book a show. What should they, or, and like market a show too? Because I think some people, like, I got a show, great, but then they don't do anything to get people in the door. What would you suggest they search, or do you have certain people that you have followed?
Yeah, honestly, we looked at everything. We research everything. We look at algorithms on Spotify and stuff.
Nice.
So going back to your question, I would say the first thing I would look at is just kind of see, get your music on a streaming platform and kind of just see where you get the most traffic, you know. And then once you do that, just kind of start Googling venues in that area and then just reach out to them. Send them an email. Hey, my name is so-so. I get this much streams on this platform. You know, I think I have this much pull, you know, in your area. I'd like to do a show. Or can I open for someone who has a bigger crowd? Or, you know, just something like that just to start out. And be prepared to know that a lot of them aren't going to hit you back. Right. That's just the name of the game, but that doesn't mean you should stop doing it, right?
Like, totally.
It's a game of rejection, honestly.
Yeah.
You know? So
absolutely. Yeah. And you kind of already started to answer my next question, but that was how you're playing these out of town gigs. How did you decide on the city and like the dates, and how did you go about securing those?
We decide on the city just off of like where we're getting a lot of traction or where we're getting a lot of love, you know. Other than Washington, you know, Washington shows a lot of love. We love Washington back. But like other than that, it's just like streaming platforms, you know, where we get a lot of traction. Even on Instagram, you could kind of just see where you're getting a lot of love from, you know, that's actual people that are commenting on your stuff.
Yeah.
So that's the main way how we do that. And then how we do the dates, it just kind of goes off of like other stuff we have planned around. Like we don't want to overwhelm ourselves. So if we're doing a show here, we usually kind of try to like plot a month out or something like that. Because, you know, we're not at the point like we'd like to be where we could just straight do music like 24/7.
Yeah.
Like if we could, then we would do like a show every other day or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? But that's just not how we got it right now. Right. So you got to give yourself time to promote the show. So just kind of space them out like a couple, you know, a month or two. If you can.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's interesting too, because that'll also protect you from like blackout dates or anything
exactly.
like that of like venues. Because I think that's something that folks run into is they'll go, oh, great, I got three gig offers, and they take all three, and then they're playing three shows in the same city in like 2 weeks. And then there's like five people at one, 10 at
exactly.
another, and 20. And it's like, dang, we thought this would have been bigger. And
yep.
it's like you fractured it between all those
exactly.
shows. Which I think a lot of like up and coming folks, like, great, you got the gig, focus on one. Like make one great
exactly.
performance kind of thing.
For sure.
And we'll probably talk about this a little later as well, but how do you put together like your live shows? There's a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. And so how do you go about, like, you've got the gig, you've got these cities and whatnot. How are you planning for that show then? Like, what's the process
of
planning?
So there's certain songs that were just like, man, honestly, it's like, how can we give people the best representation in New Track City? Cause we look at it as we're like, we're jazzy, but then we're, 90s. You know, hip hop, but then we're also modern. We're also fresh. We like to think. I mean, I'm just saying shit, but this is what we like to think we are, you know? So we try to give people a holistic picture. So there's certain songs we're like, hey, we got to perform this. So if you come to a New Track City show, we're doing Lore Lee's song part two, super jazzy. It's one of my favorite songs we've ever done. But to me, that's a great definition of who we are. So we got to do that one. And then we'll throw in the songs like Know Better or like Pride for sure. You're always going to get Pride at a show because it's the energy, and that's another good, you know, representation of who we are.
Yeah.
But that's honestly how we plot on our show. How can we give you the full picture of New Track City, which is a variety of things. So we just got to touch, you know, multiple different areas with our music, and that's how we do that.
Definitely. Yeah. And so like when you're going to promote these shows, then what steps do you take, especially for these out of town gigs? How are you promoting those shows? Whether it be ads or social or what.
You got to do ads for sure. You know, you got to do advertisements to the city you're going to. And then also just talk to the people via your social media platforms, whether it be Facebook, whether it be Instagram, whether it be Twitter, who show you love and who are in that area, just so they can know you're coming through. And just, you know, because that's what you should do, right? Like, instead of trying to, like, grab people who don't know who you are, just magnify the people who already rock with you, right? And then they'll do the rest, right? Like, they'll bring a friend. Or if they don't bring a friend, they'll bring themselves. And that's really all you need, man.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. And so when you're running those ads, like, how – and this is getting a little bit into the technical detail, but, like, what are you doing to make sure you're hitting the right audience? Like, are you going through and hitting certain – like, you're – I guess what information are you plugging in that's like important?
Yeah, so I would say you got to do hashtags, right? Mm-hmm. So artists who you think who you would compare your sound to, you'd want to target, you know, people who listen to them.
Yep.
And then even what else would that's probably the most important thing is hashtags. And Ben will probably give you a better breakdown of that as well because he does a lot of that. So
cool.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to give you a couple rapid-fire questions before we get into some of the deeper stuff.
This is not going to get me in trouble, is it?
So, no. It's not. It's going to be a preferences thing. So you kind of sent me some of the artists that you're into.
Okay.
And you've kind of touched on some of these folks, so I think it's the perfect time to jump on into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to give you one or the other, and on the fly, you're going to give me who you prefer. So Nat King Cole or James Brown?
Ooh. Damn. All right, I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna say on the musical side, I prefer James Brown, but style wise, I prefer Nat King.
Totally fair.
Yeah.
Amy Winehouse or Janet Jackson?
Damn, I love you, big sis, but I'm going with Amy Winehouse, man. Just cause she molded a lot of my style.
Yeah.
You know, so I gotta go with Amy.
Very cool. And Drake or Kanye? And you can split if you want. You can do old Kanye, new Kanye.
Yeah. Yeah, man, yeah. Kanye's a legend, though, for sure. He's on some stuff right now, but he's a legend. But now I'm going with Kanye, man, just because a lot of, like, you know, songwriting ability and a lot of our songwriting, like structure, like, we learned a lot of that from Kanye, man.
Yeah.
And I feel like even Drake learned a lot of that from Kanye, too.
Yeah, man. I feel like that was part of his latest thing. Yeah. Was like, hey, he's doing what I taught him.
Exactly, like, exactly. And then so, you know, love them both, but yeah, I got to go with Kanye, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Outkast or Tribe Called Quest?
Ah, see, this one's going to get me in trouble. Damn.
We man. Can redact. Redact it.
I know. Man, when I'm in my 90s feels, I go with Tribe. When just generally speaking, though, I'll go with Outkast just because I listen to them more frequently. But right. When I want to be 90s, I'm doing Tribe. I still love you, Tribe.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So now to get dumped. To go a little bit deeper, mm-hmm. dive a little bit deeper, what do you feel sets, like, you and New Track City apart?
That's a good-ass question.
For you personally and for other
Do you
folks.
Mean from, like, from everyone, or?
Yeah, it can be from everyone, or it okay. can, yeah, take okay. it as you will.
I think what sets New Track City apart is, I think we have a really, really, really good understanding of who we are. I mean, obviously, you're growing every day and you're learning new things about you every day. But I think generally speaking, like, I know who I am. I know, you know, that a lot of my music comes from me being in my feelings. Mm-hmm. And I'm fine with emoting that in my music. I have no shame in doing that. So yeah. I think that's dope. I feel like my brother knows who he is. You know what I mean? And that comes through in the music. And I think Drew knows who he is. And that comes through in the production. That's why it stands out. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. when we say we're able to mold some jazz influences with 90s and then even modern day hip hop. Like, I feel like we really do that because that's really who we are. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what separates us. It's just, we know who we are. It's very important to know yourself, right?
Yeah.
And when you do that, you know, you're automatically going to stand out because there's only one you. Mm-hmm. So
absolutely. Yeah. So with that said, you guys, I would you agree that at your core, it's like a hip hop group?
At our
like,
core.
That's fair to say?
Yeah.
So if you had to write or perform in a different genre, mm-hmm. what would you go towards?
That's a good question. I think we would go towards jazz, man, honestly. I feel like Drew would be like Herbie Hancock, you know what I'm saying?
You're just chuckling.
Yeah. I feel like my bro would be like Frank Sinatra. Ooh, black version.
Very nice.
You know what I mean? And I feel like myself, man, I feel like I'd be like Nat King, you know, little Duke Ellington, like something Ooh, like that, man. Like, cool. Yeah. Yeah.
And so why do you make music?
Why do I make music? Wow. Man. Shit. Why do I make music? I think I make music just because kind of what I said before. Like, I'm very aware of, like, my emotions and things like that, and I need a way to get them out. And yeah. this thing right here allows me to get it out. Nice. I think that's the main reason why I make music, man. Like, awesome. I just need a way to say how I'm feeling, and this allows me to do that, so.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And so on that flip side, what do you hope people are going to get out of your music?
Man, I hope people understand themselves more through my music. Like, I hope I'm saying things that are not just resonating with me, but are resonating with other people, then are allowing other people to find themselves through it. Like, that's the main thing I hope I'm doing, you know? Whether that be inspiration, whether that be knowing that you're angry about something and getting through that, you know, or whether it's a life experience, that's the number one thing I hope I'm doing for people, you know what I mean? So,
right on.
Yeah.
And then, I know we talked about it a little bit, but for upcoming shows, any details before we close out this section here that you want to give, where people can get tickets, how should they follow you?
You can get all our show information at www.allnewtrackcity.com. We post everything on there. If you want to get new music, if you want to get tour dates, if you want to get tickets, it's all on there. At It's the City on Instagram, we're on there heavy. And just www.allnewtrackcity.com will get you right for everything, you know. And always reach out. If you have questions, reach out. We'll reach right back out to you.
Cool. So, that's awesome, man. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
And so, yeah, break a leg, you guys. I know you got a bunch of shows coming on up. So, cheers. Thank you so much.
Will do, my man. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Next up, inspired by the likes of producers, activists, creators, and family alike, He's the man behind the production, videography, and photography of New Track City. Getting his start on Fruity Loops 3.1, he's since graduated to a whole host of DAWs, including Pro Tools and Machine. This is the guy giving New Track City that polish you hear over the airwaves or internet. So hailing from Federal Way, by way of Kenya, please welcome Drew, the man behind the board of New Track City.
Oh, shit. Man, I might have to use that for the future. You know what I'm saying? That was a hell of an intro.
Hey,
man.
There we
thank
go.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
So I guess like we did with Shy, we'll take it back to the beginning.
Yeah.
What was music like for you growing up, or how did that influence you early on?
Oh man, I had a mirage, I guess you could say, of influences. You know, from obviously my grandma and obviously my background to being born in Kenya. You know, my grandma was heavily on like the ethnic type of stuff, and then my uncle was more so on the jazzy stuff, and then my mom, she was more so on the R&B.
Yeah,
you know, R&B stuff. So it's like, you know, the influence of all that, plus also other family members, you know, just pretty much gave me that whole musical influence and brought me to where I am right now, pretty
yeah.
much, you could say, you know. And it's been a hell of a ride, you could say, you know, like just hearing different sounds and like, you know, just exploring different, you know, techniques of how people make music, you know, it's pretty dope.
Yeah. And so with such a broad range of music that you grew up on, mm-hmm. What led you to like want to produce and kind of dive in? Was it the fact that you could cut up all these different sounds and pull them together? What was that journey like for you?
I mean, at a young age, I just had that feeling, you know, like I love music, you know, I love music. And I just had that feeling, but I was like, you know, man, if I could only create it now, you know, but I just didn't have the access per se at that time to just, you know, just go out there and just get all this stuff, you know what I'm
right.
saying, and just create. And then, you know, fast forward, you know, I move out here in 2001, and then I met one of my friends, and then he had this like his name was Chaz. His name was Chaz, and this guy had this, he had a burn CD, he had a demo version of Fruity Loops 3.1.
oh, right,
know?
On
so I'm like, you know, he was like, it's just a demo, so you can't save anything. You can make stuff, but you can't save anything.
Oh, no.
So you literally had to, yeah. So like literally what I had to do was like, if I had, you know, when I was getting learning it, I had to make a beat from beginning to end and like export it, because
yeah.
I couldn't save it at
oh,
all.
My goodness.
You know, so I had to sit there till it's done.
Right.
Otherwise it can't, you know, I won't be able to save it. So I kind of like started with that, and eventually somehow he found a crack code, and we got the full version. And then from there on, it's just been, you know, just creating. Because
yeah.
it's always been in me, but it's just a way to output it, as, you know, I didn't have the access at that time. But,
right.
you know, like being exposed to that, and then also being, you know, starting being exposed to other variations of music and whatnot, and listening to other people. I love listening to vinyls, you know.
Yeah.
So
oh,
it's like,
cool.
you know, all that just made me to who I am today.
That's
pretty
awesome.
Much, yeah.
And so how would you say that influenced you as far as a producer, like having to finish and actually bounce that track at the end?
Yeah.
I know for a lot of my personal friends that are producers, they did like, their weakness is they can't finish a track. They'll
yeah.
start and mess around a little bit, and then it goes away. Like,
yeah.
from the get-go, you weren't able to do that.
Yeah.
So how would you say that's influenced you as far as how you operate now?
I mean, I can't lie. There's some also, like, right now, currently, like, there's some stuff sometimes I don't finish fully. You know what
right.
I'm saying? Because it's just the creative process. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes you get stuck. But, I mean, at that time, it was like, more so kind of like a grind time kind of thing,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have shit. I just have a demo, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, I have to create something. But I think you could say it helped me be more creative, but also learn how to pace and time myself. You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? Like, okay, stuff needs to get put out. I need to do this at, you know, the urgency of it, you know what I'm saying? So I need to do it, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
it's more so that. But, you know, obviously sometimes, you know, as opportunities open up, like now I'm able to, you know, actually save and come back to it, you know, it opens up the doors also per se to be more creative, and not
yeah.
just, you know, it's not more so quantity, it's more quality.
Yeah, absolutely.
Per se, you know what I'm saying? Because now it's like, yo, I, you know, back then it was like, okay, I'm just diving in and I'm trying to figure this stuff out, and this is what I'm working with. But now it's like, yo, it's like I have a passion for it, and I really want to put out quality stuff. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I'm not really going to rush into something. You know what I'm saying? But also, you know, you just got to be consistent as well. You know what I'm saying? Because, mm-hmm. again, you know, if people lose, you know, if you lose, if you don't put out constant stuff, people kind of lose track of, you know, of what you're doing or who you are.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so you started in that version of Fruity Loops and whatnot, and you've expanded. You mentioned you've done Pro Tools and Machine. Mm-hmm. So I guess for anyone who's looking to get started, do you recommend starting on any one of those?
Oh, yeah. I mean, use whatever works with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, for me, Fruity Loops was what I had at that time, and it worked great. I mean, if you look at people like Ninth Wonder started with Fruity Loops.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Who would have thought? You know what I'm saying? Somebody who, Ninth Wonder starting out with Fruity Loops. But, you know, that's what worked for him at the time. But, you know, as you grow, you develop, you know, and you get a more understanding of certain things and what they could do. And, you know, you're just getting familiar with other things. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just expanded myself. You know, I was like, I'm not just going to stick to just Fruity Loops. Yeah. I love it. I still use it to this day. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love it, you know, but I mean, there's other stuff out there that need to, you know, be explored. And from a musician standpoint, I just can't box myself in one thing. You know, I just got to look at all horizons.
For sure.
Yeah.
And so how do you use certain DAWs for specific things?
No, like, I mix them up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you know, like there's a certain workflow that works well in certain parts and certain workflows work well in a different part, you know, like for Fruity Loops, I kind of like, you know, using it for like, for me, for example, like for the drum patterns, you know, like you could do a lot on Fruity Loops for the drum patterns. And then you got things like Logic and all that where you could get like other extra sounds. And then, Pro Tools is more so like the mixing aspect of things, you know what I'm saying? So it's just kind of messing around with different things, but at the end of the day, it's just what works best for you, you know, because some people to this day, like I know some people, they use their phone, to make beats and stuff. And some people also use it like this, like recording software where they could record like themselves, you know, beatboxing, and they integrate that with their. So there's just so much right now, you know, 2019 and technology is just so advanced where just work with what you got, you know, and just be good at it.
Yeah.
And it work out.
That's very cool. And when you were like coming into it, and obviously you noted with Fruity Loops, you were just kind of, you had pretty much a set deadline of I have to finish this probably, I'm assuming, before I crash and go to bed, like this has got to be done.
Yeah.
As you've kind of progressed through that and your workflow has changed, when you're writing, what is your typical process? Like, do you like to start, I'm going to get the beat down first and then kind of incorporate the sounds, or how do you like to approach songwriting?
Oh, for me, it's more so just on a day-to-day basis kind of thing. Like sometimes I could just see something, you know, or watch something and I could be like, oh, wow. You know, it just sparks an idea. And then, you know, I'll be listening to a vinyl, you know, and then like listening to like old stuff, like some Dexter Wenzel. I don't know if you know who that is, or like Lamont Dozier. I don't know who. But yeah, Google it, you know.
Oh,
you just find out who they are. But, you know, just listening to certain things, you know. And also, you know, going back to my roots too as well, and, you know, listening to what my grandma used to listen and all that. It just sparks ideas, you know what I'm saying? And then when I get with my guys, you know what I'm saying, when they say, oh, okay, we have this certain kind of feel, and that certain kind of feel, I try to, like, mix, you know, what they have with what I'm thinking and then, like, put out something, you know. So that's why you kind of hear this unique sound what we have, because, you know, it's just a mirage of things, you know. And that's, I mean, I approach it on a kind of like on the fly kind of basis, I guess you kind of say it like that, you know, because sometimes it could just come from what they say, you know, like, oh yeah, we got this in mind. So now I'm like, all right, shit, I gotta work with that. Or it could be something like I was watching either, like, I don't know, some old school movie or like an old western something, you know, and I'm like, all right, I got this idea. And then I'll send it to them and they'll be like, all right, this works. And then, you know, so it's kind of like, you know, it's a melting pot.
Absolutely.
Pretty much. Yes.
So getting from like A to B, like, you're a very, very, very talented producer.
Thank you.
And you started off with like a demo version of Fruity Loops. So how are you studying to get from point A to point B? I know that Shy mentioned he's using YouTube for a lot of like promotion stuff. Mm-hmm. Like when you were trying to learn techniques, like you hear a sound and you're like, I want to create that. Mm-hmm. Like, how did you go about learning that?
Yeah, it was a mixture of you know, watching, also like, you know, having like looking up to people, like, you know, I used to look up to like other producers like Pharrell, Dr. Dre, Timberland and all that. So, you know, yeah. I would look at what work they're putting out, you know, and you just see what kind of vibe they're having and all that. You're like, oh man, you know, so that kind of like uplifts you to go create, you know. And then also YouTube obviously is like I call it another school pretty yeah. much. It's just a free school, you know. You just go there and just learn techniques and whatnot, and you just apply that to yourself, because, you know, if it's something that you love to do, because like I said earlier, you know, music has always been in me. So it's something like, I was like, you know, I could wake up every day and not be bored, you know, bored doing it, like mm-hmm. I could do it every day. So it's like, you know, if I love to do that, like, I might as well just invest in it, because it's something I love. So I was like, all right, I'm going to take it full swing, you know. So, like, it's like, I'm going to go with it, because I could wake up every day and not be like, oh, I got to do this today. No, it's like, oh, I could do this. And sometimes, you know, I could be making a beat, or I could just be so zoned out, you know. 8 hours will pass, and I won't even feel like, it won't feel like it's 8 hours.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it just goes back to just having the passion, you know. At the end of the day, you know, just having a passion, and then after that, just, you know, studying people who you look up to, or like mm-hmm. who you like, you know what, I could see myself in that kind of pinnacle. So, you know, just look up to them, and just, again, YouTube it now, you know, it's 2019. There's really, you know, you got the access.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's it for part one of New Track City on Made for Music. Jump on over to episode 26 for the remainder of Drew's interview, as well as my interview with them. You'll also get a chance to hear their new single, Keep It Trill, which you've been getting snippets of during each transition. And if you dig what you hear, please rate Made for Music on Apple Podcasts or whatever your preferred listening site is. Also, check out the Spotify playlist for this episode featuring New Track City and other artists we've been discussing. See you over on episode 26 for part two of New Track City on Made for Music.